feel very blessed to have gotten, I know it's exactly opposite of this, but a double whammy. It usually has negative connotations, but it's the opposite way I ended up being able to lead in the Mother's Day service and preach in the Father's, so I've been very blessed by that opportunity. A father of five children once came home with a toy. He summoned his children and asked which of them should be given the present. "Who is the most obedient one here?" he said. "Who never talks back to mum and does everything that mum says to do?" he inquired. There were a few seconds of silence and then they said, "You play with it, Daddy." Bit of truth there. Couple of other small little stories, very, very small. Small boy's definition of a Father's Day is, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend so much. Bit of truth being preached here this morning, isn't there? And another small story. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who became distant. The son ran away and the father set off to find him, searching for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 Pacos turned up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. I've entitled today's message, "Our God and Yet Our Father." Many of you would remember our dad beginning each prayer with "Our God and Yet Our Father," which was because of his total amazement at being adopted into God's family through what Christ did for him on the cross. The God of the universe was his father. Now, thankfully, my father also, and all my brothers and sisters-in-law. Sadly, when many people hear God the Father, it only brings up negative emotions and memories for earlier in their lives, when their father was abusive, not interested in or cared about his children's lives, or was never there for his children. Sadly, today, there are many children without fathers in single family homes, as it's usually the mother as the only parent with no father figure. In movies, Dad has been made out to be the bumbling buffoon, the butt of all jokes. Certainly not head of the home material or anyone to be taken seriously. I've got to tell you, Satan takes no breaks from trying to confuse the family dynamic that God has wisely put in place. He is constantly trying to belittle the role of the father, or indeed reverse the role between fathers and mothers. Sadly, he's succeeding far too often these days. One of the reasons Satan attacks the father's role is that it is vitally important for us as fathers to mirror God the Father, to live and show our Heavenly Father to our children. If he can distort or tarnish this role, he has helped distort God the Father's character in the eyes of many. What are the characteristics of our fathers in heaven? What is it that we fathers should look like? God, our Abba Father, is the perfect example of a father. If we want to see what the Father is like, We actually don't need to look any further than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." I've listed seven duties of a godly dad. There are many more, but here's seven to start with. So let's reflect on our God-given responsibility as fathers and also what the duties of a dad are. How can somebody say there is a godly dad? What are the qualities that qualify us to be called a godly dad? How do you define a duty? The dictionary defines duty as a conduct due to parents, obligatory tasks, service, or functions that arise from one's position. The seven duties of a godly dad are obligations or function that every dad should perform. Taken from the Gospel of Matthew 6:6-15, that was read earlier by John. Thank you, John, read well. It's as a prayer to our Father in heaven. It shows the attributes of God that we fathers need to emulate. These duties are the following: availability, godliness, leadership, provision, love, protection, and discipline. Number one, availability. A godly dad is present. In verse 6, it says, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father." We not only need to pray for our children, we need to be available to hear them and to be with them. Just as God is always available to us to bring ourselves to Him in prayer, the first duty is to be available to the children. A lot of studies show that the presence of a dad helps in the children's education, especially in math, science, and reading subjects. His presence also helps the stability and discipline of children. We fathers can often use work as a reason, and sometimes legitimately, but a lot of the time not. We need to be there for our kids. Many studies have found that children from a household without a father are 5 times more likely to commit suicide than children of both unbroken households and single father households. They're 9 times more likely to drop out of high school, 10 times more likely to abuse drugs, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 20 times more likely to end up in prison, and 32 times more likely to run away from home. The list does not stop there. Fatherless homes also account for 70% of all teen pregnancies, 70% of all child murders, and the majority of account of cases where children are murdered by their own parents. A bit sobering. We need to be there. A young man once told a story about his father regularly inviting him to drink coffee when his father was still alive. He didn't actually like coffee, but he was being obedient and polite to his father. When his father died, he then realised that their coffee time was his dad's way of spending time with him, mentoring and teaching him the lessons of life. Number two is godliness. A godly dad lives righteously. In verse 9, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We need to be holy. A pastor once said, "I was with my family and driving home from church when suddenly a speeding, reckless bus passed us by, nearly hitting the right side of our car. My blood rushed to my head and I was furious. In anger, I said to myself, 'I'll get even with this crazy dude.' At once I shifted gear and started in hot pursuit. Then my wife, who was beside me, said, "Stop and let go." She added, "You're a pastor." Right then and there, then I mellowed, calmed down and stopped the pursuit. I remembered that my children were there and could have seen my ungodly attitude towards the bus driver. There was a TV ad that said, "Whatever an adult will do, children will do." The phrase refers to a McDonald's Create Your Taste campaign in 2006 here in Australia. The above incident and TV ad remind us of our responsibilities to be a good example to our children. We need to live it out and leave a righteous legacy to the next generation of children. We will lead our family here on earth. Oops, sorry. Number three is leadership. A godly dad leads the family. In verse 12, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We will lead our families here on earth as we do God's will, as it is in heaven. Since our children were born, Kerry and I brought Brittany and Brock to church on a regular weekly basis. Nothing earth-shattering coming from the church of a pulpit of a church, but still, it needs to be done. As parents, we did not ask them to go to church. We brought them. I think that every father, and is evident here this morning as well, should do. You would have heard of Samuel and Hannah, his mother. But have you heard of Elkanah? He is the father of Samuel. The Bible says that Elkanah brought his family to church on a regular basis. How many fathers out there are like Elkanah? I know a number of Christian fathers that don't go to church. Their TV is their church. Dads like us should take the lead not only in spiritual matters but in all areas of the family, inside and outside of the home. Number four is provision. A great dad, a great godly dad, provides responsibly. In verse 11, "Give us our daily bread." There was a family in the Philippines. A wife used the iPad, the son used the iPhone, the daughter used the iPod, while the father said, "For all these, iPad." In reality, it's the father who is responsible in giving or providing the needs, yes, sometimes wants, of the family. And a note, the amazing wives that do these jobs as well are well needed both in work and support. Number five is love. A great godly dad loves unconditionally. Verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." If you've got your Bibles there, if you want to turn again, it'll be Luke 15 this time. Luke 15, 11 to 24. And we read of a dad's love for his son. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, throwing his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Even after his son had greedily asked him for his inheritance, his father never lost the love that he had for his son. He could have become bitter for having such an ungrateful son, but instead he longed for his return and celebrated when he did. The beauty of unconditional love. Number six is protection. A godly dad protects always. Verse 13, deliver us from the evil one. In Indonesia, last December, a truck hit a town's power pole that caused a two-day blackout. While the man's family slept, they didn't have electricity. He was compelled to use a large piece of cardboard to blow the heat and disease-ridden mosquitoes away all night. He believed that any father would do the same thing to protect his family. God has given an innate and natural instinct for all fathers to protect, because this is one of our duties. And number seven, discipline. A great dad disciplines consistently. In verses 14 to 15. If you do not forgive others' sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive yours. If you've been a father for more than a few years, you know it can be difficult to punish your children. Sometimes it's hard for many fathers to punish their child, but it's necessary to teach them righteousness. The term, "This will hurt me more than it'll hurt you," can ring true for many fathers. The child's case is often quite sceptical. In Hebrews 12, verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Discipline is another expression of our love. Proverbs 13, 24 says, "If you don't punish your children, you don't love them. If you do love them, you will correct them." Discipline is a God-given responsibility to parents, specifically to fathers. So to all dads out there, thank you for fulfilling your God-given duties to your family. I salute you. I pray that we will continue to be courageous for the sake of our families and for the next generation. May God empower us fathers to be able to continue fulfilling these God-given duties. Just like to add and conclude that all these duties are not only God-given, they are God's attributes towards his children. He is our Heavenly Father, the greatest dad. He has been available for us all the time. He has been holy and wants us to be the same. He is our leader, guiding us to safety. He provides all our needs, sometimes even our wants. He is our loving God. He has loved us with everlasting love. He protects us under his wings and lovingly and patiently disciplines us when we do wrong. As we celebrate Father's Day today, let us be reminded that God, our Heavenly Father, has been fulfilling these duties to us, his children, because he loves us eternally. Happy Father's Day to you and me, and to our greatest dad, our Abba Heavenly Father. He is the perfect Father, and as a father, I am so grateful for the dad that God gave to me as an example and encouragement. But regardless of what your earthly father was like, I can assure you that your heavenly Father is always good, is always right, and he is always there. He will always protect you. In this life, children grow up and eventually leave their fathers. But for the child of God, we are continuing to grow until we finally enter the Father's house forever. The perfect Son said it best. Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We're now going to finish with our final song, which is Jesus Lord, I Need Thy Presence.